At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
My imagination has hemorrhoids.
Just spread it like it's a contagion.
The first one's like, man, I got a lot of hemorrhoids. We got to get rid of this because this is what's causing it. So let's
send it to
over
our
here.
Cousins.
So our cousins are like, bro, this gave me hemorrhoids.
Yes.
So let's send it over here.
Yes.
That's definitely the black sheep of the family because they know what's about to happen.
They're like, just a second. You two groups got hemorrhoids and you want to give this thing to us?
They took it, though.
They took it, yeah.
They're like, we're here.
We'll be fine. Uh-oh. The thunder bore two sons, one named after himself, the other after the fathers before him, because ego was generational. The thunder lived wild and free to the fullest, laughed louder than doctrine, and when he vanished in a fist-pumping celebration, he left us, his unqualified, unstable sons, to figure it all out.
Help!
Welcome to the Sons of Thunder podcast, where healing sounds like laughter, heresy is accidental, and joy is our end-time survival strategy. Strap in, say a prayer, and try not to get stuck in the truths that hit harder than a youth camp altar call. Let's dive in today with joy as our protest. And then the episode would start. So, something along those lines.
Heresy is accidental. I love it.
That's my thought. So, that's a potential opening. So, you want to do a sponsor?
Yeah, I'll do a sponsor.
Let's see. Hey, Joseph, I want to know who is responsible for this episode. Who has given us the microphone today?
Who's responsible? I love that. Today's episode is brought to you by Covenant Kitchen. They present their new soup called Birthright Broth.
Gross. I hear birth and soup.
It's called Birthright.
Oh, okay.
Disgusting. They're still working on it, but they already trademarked it, so they feel like they're stuck.
Yeah.
Today's episode is brought to you by Covenant Kitchen, where every bite is steeped in divine drama, and nothing stirring the pot like their brand new release, Birthright Broth. This ain't your average soup. It's the legendary lentil stew that made a grown man trade his entire inheritance for one bowl. Esau came in hungry, he left, spiritually bankrupt. Now you can taste that same reckless flavor at every spoonful, available in three red-hot flavors. There's three. Original Esau, it's bold, earthy, little impulsive. Herbal heirloom, it tastes like tradition and betrayal. Salty regret. I really love salty regret. It's seasoned with tears and hindsight. Don't just eat soup. Rewrite your destiny. Birthright Broth from Covenant Kitchen. Soups that slap harder than a sibling rivalry. Use code Thundersnacks for a 20% discount and an opportunity to sell your birthright.
What's the salty flavor?
It's called salty regret.
Salty regret. Does it leave you bloated? Like real bloated?
I mean, yeah, because there's a lot of hindsight mixed in with that.
The tears.
It's like, oh!
Stirred up with tears.
Instant regret.
I do need to read another one of our sponsors for this episode today.
Wait a minute. We have a sponsor?
We do. More than just Covenant Kitchen. We have another sponsor that sponsors every single episode that we have.
It's some way or fashion.
In some way, shape, form, or fashion, these guys are responsible for us having microphones. Ugh. So, I would like to introduce to you the newest in the Wrath Buddies line, Bezalel, Tabernacle Tactician. He didn't fight, but he did gold leaf the Ark of the Covenant. So, today, this episode of the Sons of Thunder podcast is sponsored by Wrath Buddies, the only biblical toy line bold enough to say not every hero swings a sword. Some wield a chisel. Introducing Bezalel, Tabernacle Tactician, the only Wrath Buddy who shows up to the battlefield with fabric swatches and divine blueprints. Each Bezalel figure comes with an artisan's apron with real gold flakes, probably not real, two Holy Spirit-infused hands for precision woodworking, and a bonus Oholiab sidekick that's basically just moral support and embroidery tips. Press his sandal to hear lines like, "God gave me the blueprints," and zero margin for error. "Don't touch the cherubim. I spent 6 days on that wing detail. Who needs a sword when I've got acacia wood and vision? I'm not Moses. Moses doesn't even know what a cubit is. You want wrath? Try messing up a tabernacle measurement." Would you like to hear your kids screaming in the background? He's carving cherubim with holy confidence. Pick up your Bezalel today. Bonus features include miniature tabernacle tent with velvet curtains and accurate cubits, Spirit of God power-up mode for flawless metalwork, and a burning bush-scented crafting table, fragrance sold separately. Because sometimes the most dangerous man in the desert is the one with too much gold and no budget limit. Bezalel, Tabernacle Tactician. Wrath Buddies, proud sponsors of the Sons of Thunder podcast. If you were to buy your Wrath Buddies Bezalel today, use code THUNDERBROS for 15% off and bonus fragrance. You can pick up the fragrance if you use the code. The fragrance is typically sold separately.
Not today.
That's the Burning Bush Scented Crafting Table.
Ooh.
It's pretty good.
That's a, man, Bez.
Good old Bezzy.
Good old Bezzy, man. He's one of my favorite characters in all of Wrath Buddies and the Bible.
Here's what I think is interesting. Of all the Wrath Buddies that have sponsored and the ones you'll hear in more episodes, most of them have like two voice lines. Bezalel has the most. And I wonder if it's because in the scripture, Bezalel doesn't say a word.
He doesn't.
And so Wrath Buddies is like, we don't know what he'd say.
We don't.
So we're going to add all these statements. So he's like, "Don't touch the cherubim. I spent 6 days on that wing detail." I think there's another reason you shouldn't touch the cherubim. But
I wonder, well, I mean, depends. Is he in the construction phase or is it right after? Because there's a cloud that comes down.
That's true. That's true.
It gets crazy.
I like how he says, "No, I'm not Moses. Moses doesn't even know what a cubit is." What a cubit is.
You ever wonder if, you know, Moses kept saying, you know, "I can't do these things. I can't do this. I can't do that." Then finally, you know, he decided to do it.
Yeah.
And then God's like, I need an Ark of a Covenant built. And Moses is like, "All right, let's go." And he's like, not you.
Not you. Moses.
You don't even have to make excuses. I know.
He hands Moses a ruler. He's like, "How many inches is this?" And he's like, "How do I read that?"
75.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. This is why you're not doing this. Yeah. Hey, so welcome to the Sons of Thunder podcast.
I thought you were welcoming me.
We've had an episode come out already that, we want to make sure everybody understands. You will not see the type of sodas that we drink until those people pay us, because that's free airtime for them.
I actually just put milk in that can.
Yeah.
It's really disgusting.
I didn't fully wash it out all the way.
Yeah. Metallic milk.
Very aluminum-y. We're here at the Sons of Thunder podcast. We had an episode come out. And I realized as we edited it and as we got it put out, we didn't do much of an introduction.
Okay.
So here we are. This is a podcast that is fueled by a bunch of sponsors, tons of sponsors, Wrath Buddies being one of the biggest ones. I had somebody message me and say, "I can't find this toy anywhere." They wanted to go and buy it. The last episode was sponsored by, I think, Exploding Jericho Josh.
Yes.
One of the first. That was the first of the Wrath Buddies line. And they're very difficult to find. Listen, keep searching.
Maybe we need to keep searching. Kickstarter for Wrath Buddies.
they looked them up and could not find the toy anywhere. And so it's because they're sold out.
Currently, yes.
Currently. But the Bezalel, he's in. He's their newest.
You better jump on
and
it.
And there's
though,
a reason. Better jump. By the time this episode comes out, it's probably gone again.
It'll be gone. It'll be like, what the heck?
Where did that go? A lot of that happening. If you follow us on social media, it's probably where you found us. We have a TikTok and Instagram.
Thanks.
A Facebook. We have a Facebook.
Thanks.
Thanks. We have a let's see, what else we got? A YouTube.
We got it. Yeah, we called YouTube. They came down.
They're recording this
right now.
Yeah. Thanks, YouTube, for sending your crew down to record this.
Oh, we got them down here.
I will say this. Of the last episode that came out, it's been a couple hours now since it's been out. We've got a lot of feedback from it. One of the feedback that I got, I don't know about you, one of the feedback I got was, you guys are idiots. Okay, we did hear that.
That was kind of just like an understood.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, well, that's why we did this, so that the world.
And my idiot friends were like, yeah.
Yeah.
I was like.
But the one big takeaway that I heard was, I don't get your humor. And I said, why don't you get the humor? And they were like, I don't really know what you were talking about. And I said, that's because you don't know the Bible.
Oh.
And so my wife told me, she said.
Was it your wife?
No. Okay. She didn't say that. My wife didn't. So I was telling my wife, and she said, yeah, I did realize that you guys are hilarious if you know the Bible well enough.
Okay.
So
there's that.
There's that. So here's my suggestion.
We're going to take everybody's opinions and just wad them up real tight.
Yes. So here's my challenge. If you don't know the story, go read the story on your own.
How about this? Is there any chance that we can like, hey, well, no, I don't want to give people too much of a clue on what the podcast is going to, the episode's going to be about.
Yeah.
But we can like post some scripture references.
Here's where, so this podcast episode today, so we're finding our voice still. Okay. So we're not finished yet. Right. We're not.
Sorry, you confused me. I was like, I thought mine was right here.
This episode, we're finding our voice. We're figuring out who we are. We're figuring out what you guys really want. We started these.
I don't care what people want.
I'm just going to do what I want to do. We started out recording. We said this in the last episode, but we started out recording a bunch of episodes to try to figure out who we are. We started out with a bunch of news headlines. Yeah. And we thought that was going to be a segment on the show. And it doesn't work. Like, it just doesn't work because we don't care what's going on in the world.
We really don't.
So there was a zebra in Middle Tennessee loose on the interstate.
There was too much publicity over...
Way too much.
This fancy horse.
And, yes.
Are they made of zebra cakes?
Does it make a... maybe.
How do you get a zebra
cake out of a
zebra?
Here's what I thought about all the news stories. We thought, those come and go, right? But something that's been here forever, something you can go and actually fact check us on, is the Bible stories.
You can.
That's been around 2,000 years.
I like how you said or fact more. Check.
Yes.
Fact check. Fact because check.
Because you would fact check us on the silverback gorilla, how much he can pick up, right? That never even made it to air, but we had a whole conversation about that.
I had no idea.
They can pick
none
up.
None of the news, we weren't vetting anything. We were just saying the first thing that we saw. We were like,
we read a headline and completely misunderstood it.
We did, yeah.
So we thought, what can we actually share that we have some type of understanding or knowledge in? And we
found out that wasn't much.
It wasn't much. We have a very limited amount of knowledge.
Yeah.
But we shared in the last episode about a guy named Elisha and a miracle that happened. And so we talked about it. We're like, so what do we talk about this on this episode?
Well, I think one of the things we actually talked about on the last episode, mm-hmm. too, is on Wednesday nights with the student ministry, we had been going back and forth, going through, is it apple juice?
Yeah.
We were going back and forth.
Salty.
Some of that salty regret. Birthright broth. I know what you were thinking when I said birthright broth. You're thinking of like afterbirth.
Gross.
Or maybe you are now. That is pretty gross.
That's really gross.
Wednesday nights. Last year.
We teach your kids.
We teach students. You should come listen to us live. You can at any point.
Any Wednesday night.
It's terrible. I mean, it's terrible that there's not more. Anyways, so Wednesday nights last year, basically the whole year, we were only going to do about a couple of months going through character series.
Yep. Basically, we took a character in the Bible, we did research on them, we read the stories, and then we gave our own little flair.
We did. I mean, like, it's, what's it called? The
Bible? Characters? What's what called?
The words that are in my head. Now I'm all thinking about is milk in a Sprite can. I mean, in a can, in a green, green can. So we're going through the character series, and we were like, okay, let's get this. So we started with some other teachers, some mm-hmm. other guys to give us some more of a break.
Yeah.
And they were super lame. I mean,
they were terrible at it.
Pastor Charles, I love him to death, but like I'm going to read about David.
I would be.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Afraid of him because he's humongous, but he's not listening to this.
He's definitely not.
He's not a subscriber. By the way, like and subscribe.
Yeah,
so that you cannot miss.
I mean, everybody.
So that you cannot miss a single episode.
No, there's. We were going through the original characters. You know, everybody. I was talking to my wife. You know, there's like King David.
Yeah.
If you're a Christian, you know who King David is.
Yeah.
If you're a believer, you know who King David is.
And you know about the David that killed Goliath. You know about both those guys.
Yeah. It's found in the Book of David.
Yes.
I remember one time our dad was preaching and he said, all right, he was going, you know, telling the story. He's like, all right, guys, this sermon's going to be where we're going to be found in the Book of David. So let's go turn to the Book of David real quick, chapter 2. And he kept going. And he said, after about 30, 45 seconds, he said, those of you who are still flipping through the pages, you need to read your Bible more.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So yeah, they were going through all these ones. And I was like, you know what? I want to do something. I want to start reaching out to the obscure characters that nobody knows about. Nobody really reads about unless you're really diving into scripture.
Yeah, and because there's a lot of people that read through the Bible in a year, right? And when you do that, you're just reading pages after pages after pages.
Yeah.
And you don't stop and sit and think, okay, this guy's name is in the Bible.
Why?
Why? Like, if I was living in that time, would my name be in the Bible?
No. Sorry, sure. I thought that was rhetorical. I thought that
was... Yeah, confidence.
Absolutely not. My name's in the Bible. Several times. Mostly all good things, too.
Mostly good things. Hear your name, yeah.
Granted, I was sold
by his brothers to slavery.
First left for dead.
Yes.
Then one of them felt a little guilty.
Yeah. No, one of them saw an opportunity.
Oh, that's true. He didn't feel
financial
guilty.
Gain.
He was like, Yeah. So, you know, we're going through, though, and I was like, man, there's so many people in the Bible, and I love hearing about those obscure characters because it's not like... It's nothing new, but not people don't really dive into it.
Right.
So we were like, let's dive into it.
Let's look it up. Let's figure it out.
So today we're actually talking about the sponsor for this episode.
Yes, the Wrath Buddy sponsor. The Wrath Buddy character, yes.
Because Bezalel may be one of my all-time favorite characters in Scripture,
yeah.
And he never says a word.
Yeah, you should be more like Bezalel.
Me, personally?
Yes, you personally. That way the podcast is way better.
Because I don't shut it.
You just stand there. You just sit here with a mic, and I mute it the whole time.
I can imagine. You can't even. I can imagine.
Silent.
I can imagine Bezalel in Scripture. Like his was more like.
Yeah, he had the face. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Oh, approving glance.
So Bezalel. So here's the way this that process worked. You know, we kind of talked about the way this podcast even started was really from the character series because we had this. Very unique. I like it. You aggressively cover up your green can.
I also put my whole mouth over the lid for some reason.
But we talked about how the character series really where the podcast even came from because we had this unique stories that don't really get shared. I never heard a sermon about Bezalel.
Mm-mm.
And I know, I've heard people read through that text or whatever in the scripture, but it's kind of sandwiched in a pretty big story in the Bible. So Bezalel lived during the time of Moses. Moses, like where Bezalel shows up in the Bible is in the book of Exodus. When Moses is on Mount Sinai, comes down and there's a calf that's made of gold. Moses freaks out, breaks the tablets that had the law on it, right? So Bezalel's sandwiched in the middle of all that. So he kind of gets overlooked.
He does. I mean, you're also skipping over the fact where he ground up the golden calf and made him drink
it. And made everybody drink the golden dust that he powdered up. Yes. Which is, that's another thing we don't talk about much.
I feel like.
I don't hear a lot of pastors being like, so what we're going to do today.
The Key and Peele sketch where he's like, you done messed up, Aaron?
Yes.
I think that's what Moses, I think it came from that scene.
Yes. Moses came down.
He dropped him and he went, you done messed up, Aaron?
Yeah, you got a problem. You got a problem. I got a problem with you. He breaks the tablets. Did you know, and there's a little verse in there that even God says, I want you to go back up on the mountain again, and I want you to make two more tablets like the ones you broke.
Ooh.
And that, like, you got to think almost God was God like Moses. Like, you could have set him down.
Chill,
Moses.
You anyway. Think I wasn't aware that they were doing this? Yeah,
I knew that was going on while you were on the mountain.
Moses is like, caught me by surprise.
Yeah. So, and Bezalel's story is found in the middle of all that. And so most of the time he gets overlooked.
Yeah.
So you started that series. We were going through the series, and then you gave this obscure character. I had given another character, maybe in the New Testament or something, that was kind of obscure. And then you brought this guy out, and we were all kind of like, wow, we have not paid attention to this guy. And he's the silent genius.
And here's the thing. You hear about things in Scripture, and you're like, okay, stop and think, where did that come from?
Yes.
Because what he did is mentioned basically throughout all of Scripture after that.
Yes. One of the most important jobs maybe in the entire Bible.
And one of the most hilarious...
If it wasn't for his faithfulness, a whole group of people wouldn't have got hemorrhoids.
That's where I was going. I was like, the most...
I knew where you were going with this.
Yeah, it's the most hilarious thing
Let's
in
talk
all
about
of Scripture.
Hemorrhoids today.
We're going to talk about hemorrhoids.
Yeah. And golden mice.
So
that's the title of this episode, Hemorrhoids and Golden Mice.
That's gonna be great.
that's the first couple of seconds of the episode.
Yes, absolutely.
If it wasn't for this guy, a whole people group would not have gotten hemorrhoids.
The bad news is too, that nation, they kept just shipping it to different cities, and they're like,
they just spread it like it's a like contagion.
The first one's like, man, I got a lot of hemorrhoids. We got to get rid of this because this is what's causing it. So let's
send
it
to our
here.
Cousins.
So our cousins are like, bro, this gave me hemorrhoids.
Yes.
So let's send it over here.
Yes.
That's definitely the black sheep of the family because they know what's about to happen.
They're like, it's like, just a second. You two groups got hemorrhoids and you want to give this thing to us?
They took it, though.
They took it. Yeah.
They're like, we're here.
We'll be fine. Uh-oh. Not so fine. How do you think, like, I don't know. I feel like that's one of those sicknesses you don't tell people you've got. Right?
True.
It's not like the flu where everybody's like laid up sick. But it's like, hey, what's wrong with you? Why weren't you at work today? And every time they did it, they're real uncomfortable. I got a real bad situation going on.
Yeah.
Like, really? Me too. This is weird.
Rather not talk about it, but I know it.
Everybody's walking around being like,
yeah. I don't even know. Were they able to wink? They're
just blinking real bad.
Is everybody crying so much? Yeah. So the story of Bezalel, though, is found in Exodus. So I've got some of the scripture, but okay. I would really like the people, whoever's watching, they need to go and read it for themselves because that's how good it is. Because don't just take our word for it.
Yeah, don't take our word for
Please
it.
Please don't.
It's in the Bible.
It's a bad idea.
Heresy's accidental around here.
It is.
We don't do it on purpose. Yeah.
So what do you got?
This is the first guy. So I don't know. What do you got?
I just have some.
We talked about. We said we want to share about Bezalel, right?
Yeah.
I've got notes on Bezalel. I've even got. I win because I've got a Bible here. You didn't even bring a Bible.
Bible app.
This one was Dad's Bible, the Thunder's Bible himself. This was his devotional Bible.
Every that's time he opened
that's
it,
that's why it's so flimsy. That's why it's so flimsy and like broken in. None of my Bibles are this flimsy.
They kind of go when you open them.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, they still pages are. Yeah.
The funny thing is, Dad had like 100 Bibles, and every one of them were like that. They were all broken in, and like he just constantly was reading like all the time.
This this story is found in Exodus. There's a few different chapters where Bezalel's story. Bezalel's first mentioned in Exodus 31. And this is when Moses is on the mountain and God's telling him, Bezalel and Aholiab.
Okay, yeah. But we're not talking about Aholiab. He's a whole nother.
Well, he comes as the sidekick in the Wrath Buddies. We'll talk about him in a different episode.
Yeah, he's worth talking about to me because I think Bezalel could honestly be like multiple episodes. He could be.
Sure. One episode could be all about hemorrhoids.
100%.
You got to know, like, let's not talk about the hemorrhoid episode, but the, in the Philistine camp when they steal it, you got to know they're like, who made this thing? Like, who was the one that made this thing? We got it for you.
Yeah, we know exactly who made it.
So this guy, I will say this, we talked about this on the last episode a little bit too, because we kind of were a little bit scattered. Bezalel, first guy in all the Bible that was said to be filled with the Spirit. It wasn't Abraham. In my mind, should have been Abraham, right? It wasn't Jacob, the father of all Israel. It wasn't Moses. It wasn't Aaron. It wasn't Adam.
Well, it should have been Aaron. He caved and made the golden calf.
Yeah, he made some mistakes.
Well, I mean, Moses did too. He was like, I can't talk, God. And he's like,
I would think Moses more for the murder.
Oh no,
that'd be my thought. It wasn't. It wasn't.
That's not what got me.
It wasn't Noah. Like
it was
Noah
his stutter.
Noah. Noah. It wasn't Noah. And Noah was like, he was a good guy until he.
People need to read the Bible.
Like, people need to read the Bible. There's things that we're not. I feel like I would get canceled if I shared what was actually in the Bible.
Right, but like,
it wasn't Seth. I think about Seth. Like Seth has a great line. He's the one that replaced Abel. Right.
Right.
You had Cain and Abel. Cain killed Abel, and then Seth replaced Abel. He didn't replace him because you can't replace a kid. But Adam and Eve had another kid. Seth.
Do you think Seth was ever like growing up? They're like, man. They kept talking about Abel. He's like, who's Abel? It's like that was your brother. It's like, what happened? Your older brother killed him. He's like, what did he?
My older brother sitting at the other side of the table.
He's a, that guy.
What did he do? He probably was like, every time he saw Cain, hey, Cain, how you doing today? You doing good? So appreciate
just,
you.
Just eating the birthright broth.
That didn't come till later. But it wasn't, you know, I think about the people in the Bible. It wasn't Methuselah. The first person that was mentioned to be filled with the Spirit
is in Exodus chapter 31,
yep,
verse 3. So here's what happens. It says in Exodus, this is first off, God is speaking to Moses.
Okay.
So he says, the Lord said to Moses, Exodus 31, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, which is cool enough in and of itself.
Yes.
Because Hur is also the one mentioned right before this, is the one that helped Aaron as Moses was watching Joshua and the Israelites and the fighting battle. The Amalekites.
Yep.
So they're fighting.
Yeah, yeah.
And Moses, God's like, as long as your hands are up, holding this, like, you're good.
Yeah.
And Moses, can you imagine being the guy that's like, oh, my arms are so tired. And then he's like, oh, and he drops them, and then, like, two guys die. And he's like,
right. Whew. So then he's thinking, okay, well, just one guy die. Let me take a break for this arm for a second, and then back to this arm,
It reminds me of the episode of Friends where... I think it's when Rachel is having the baby and Ross gets hit and says, you have no idea how painful this is. Yeah. Could you imagine Moses like, and then like two guys literally just killed.
Yeah.
And Moses like, guys, this is really hard.
This is really hard. You should try this.
My
job is so hard right now.
We should do the whole podcast with our hands up.
I can't. I'm already tired. That made me sweat. Just
Moses was old. By this
I wonder why I'm out of shape.
So Moses, no reason. It's that whole milk.
It's not
milk
my healthy whole milk.
So Hur is like, man, he's a good guy. He's awesome.
One of the ones that goes underneath Moses' arms, right?
He does.
Aaron's on one side.
Moses, his older brother, which I can only imagine, like an older brother holding his arm, they're like tickling him. So can you imagine Moses? Oh, you just killed a guy. That's messed up.
That probably didn't happen.
Probably didn't. But also,
probably.
But it doesn't mention this here, but it does mention it in other places. Bezalel is the son of Uri, son of Hur, who's also the son. Hur is the son of Caleb.
Yes.
So Caleb is like crazy awesome dude too. He's one of the two.
We like him.
We love Caleb was amazing. He went into the promised land. It was one of the 12 spies. Him and Joshua came back and like, man, it's crazy. They're huge. They're out to get us. They could kill us at any moment.
Bigger they are, harder they fall. Let's go get them.
I wonder if he kind of had that like crazy look in his eyes. He's like, let's go. And they're like, okay, you're something wrong with you. Yeah. So anyways, it says he's of the tribe of Judah, verse 2. Verse 3, again, this is God speaking directly to Moses. And I filled him with the Spirit of God. First time ever in all Scripture.
Yep.
Filled with the Spirit of God. With ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, in cutting stones for setting and in carving wood, to work in every craft.
Yes.
That's insane.
It
like
is.
God's like, hey, I wonder if Moses, he has to know Bezalel because he knows Caleb. He sent Caleb. This is Caleb's great grandson.
He's of the same like people group, right? So it's family. It's a big family.
Yeah. So they're all family.
Yeah.
So so they're there and they're like, man, okay, this is, I wonder if Moses is like, yeah, I agree with that. And God's like, you don't have to agree with it. I said it.
Yeah.
But then what's crazy in Exodus 35, so four chapters later, is when Moses says to the people, He's like, see, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, with... I mean, he quotes exactly...
Yes.
So first off, this is amazing. Yeah. Moses, good job. You've been leading the people. You've been doing great things. And that to me, is what a true man of God is like.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to interpret what God says and just say, like, I'm going to make this a little better.
Right. He just says exactly what he says.
He's like, this is what God said.
Yeah. I heard, the best time I heard it said, I was at a conference and a speaker got up and said, stop telling me what the Bible's talking about and just tell me what it says.
Yes. That one thing that I do on like any kind of social media,
yeah.
One thing I love to do is I love to share scripture. And yes. I used to like share scripture and then like my two cents at the bottom.
Right.
Then I started thinking, my two cents are like, they are useless.
Yes.
So I just
started, we all know that already.
Yeah. Well, I guess I didn't notice it, or I thought, man, this is going to be good. Then I was like,
right.
I think God knows what he's doing.
I'm going to put the real punch in this.
Yeah, I'm going to drive
Thanks
it home.
Thanks for the setup, Lord.
But then when you stop doing that and you just read scripture, that's when it really, to me, that's when it comes to life.
It's dangerous, yeah.
That's when you're like, oh my goodness. This is, because again, Bezalel, people have probably read this before. It's like, but this is how people read it. Then Moses said to the people of Israel, see, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of...
Ew, I don't like how people read it.
That's I'm out there in the sanctuary or in the auditorium, wherever we're at.
Yeah.
And like when I hear somebody, if I hear you ever doing that, my first instinct is to go, ew, gross.
Yeah.
Ew. So all he does again is quote exactly what God told him. And he says,
yes.
And he has inspired him to teach. The first part of verse 34. So not only is he good at all these things, he said he can train other people to do it too.
Yeah. Good leader.
That's when you know, like, you're insanely talented. I remember our dad telling us, but also, I mean, he heard it from, nothing's doing with his son. So he would say, like, I feel you're an expert in your field when you can explain what you know to a child.
Yes.
And so.
I heard Billy Graham one time say he knows what he's going to preach in 15 minutes. It takes him 15 hours to make it simple.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, because if you can't make it simple for a child to understand.
Yeah. You got to train them up. If you don't train them up, what are you doing? You die and it's all gone.
Then you're dumb. So
in
Exodus chapter 37 now, we're going to jump to verse chapter 37. This is when Bezalel starts
takes action.
He takes action.
Yep.
So God says, okay, Moses, here are the instructions. Here's how you're going to build the Ark of the Covenant.
Yep. Not you. Here's how somebody else is going to build
it. Here's how the Ark of the Covenant is going to be built.
Yes.
Tell
the exact measurements.
And again.
Go tell it to Bezalel.
Yeah.
And then he tells everybody, he's like, hey guys, I want everybody to know this. We got a project, building project. Bezalel's in charge of it. Here's what's going to happen. Then chapter 37, he begins to build.
Yeah, because and here's the thing. I would be mortified. God's like, here's how I want you to build this. God's not like, close enough.
Right. Right.
He's not going to say that. That's why he's like, this is so important. I have to put the Spirit of God inside of you.
Yes. That's what I wrote that down at one point. Like, so first off, you said something about Bezalel being skilled in all craftsmanship, right? He's skilled in this stuff.
Where did he learn
those skills?
The desert.
Wrong.
Oh, Egypt.
Egypt. He learned the skills because they were slaves. This is whenever they first came out of Egypt.
They're still in the...
They've not even wandered yet, right? So they've just gone into the wilderness. So Bezalel learned the skills while being a slave in Egypt, being oppressed by the world. So here's a little spinning point for you, a little turning point. Wherever you're at, the skills that you're learning right now could be used by God in an incredible way, but you've got to be willing to say, my story doesn't end here, right? Bezalel could have just said, I've learned all these skills, I've learned all this stuff, and I hate it, right? Why? Because I've learned it in a really hard spot. He learned it in a hard spot, and still, God says, I'm going to use it now for great stuff. And God said, like you said, God put the Spirit in him because this was not just the work of a man, this was the work of God.
Right.
Which is amazing. And do you realize the couple times that the Spirit has been entered into the picture so far in the story? So at creation, God says the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Why? Because whenever God built a place for his presence to reside, it was a work of the Spirit, right? What's he doing? So the first person that he fills with the Spirit is Bezalel. Hold up. What does that mean? It means God's about to build a place where his presence resides.
Oh, what does he do? This was going to go back to something with surfing.
Yes, that's close too. So Bezalel must have also been a good surfer because he's got the spirit in him.
But could you have Bezalel? He instantly was like, nothing. He's like, bro. It's like, man, look at it. I bet he had blonde hair.
Sure, in that culture, the blonde hair runs very deep in those jeans.
Yeah.
But here's what. So you take the Spirit's presence in this. So he's filled with the Spirit to build a place for the presence of God to reside. Now fast forward to the church. The Spirit of God resides in believers. Why? So that he has a place that God can preside. Like, it's the Spirit proceeds wherever God's presence is going to go.
Ooh.
Wherever his presence lives. That's a bomb. Bomb drop. And Bezalel said,
thunder.
Everything about the way the Spirit is telling him, he's got to do it exactly right. He was so focused on it. And we're just like, yeah, we got the Spirit of God. No big deal.
Yeah.
God lives in me. Okay, we're good.
Bezalel literally crafted, with the Spirit of God inside of him, crafted the Ark of the Covenant, as well as the table, the lampstand, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering, the bronze basin, the court, all the materials and the furnishings for the tabernacle.
Yeah.
And what we do with the Spirit of God is watch hilarious cat videos on Instagram.
We take the Spirit of God to those places.
I've heard those reels before. It's like when you get up to heaven and you imagine meeting Bezalel, he'll be like, dude, man, it's crazy what all you did. And he's like, man, I know I was the first one that had the Spirit of God. Like, what did you do with it? I'm like, nothing.
Yeah. Like, absolutely nothing.
Started a podcast.
He gave me some peace every now and then. I got some good sleep. That's what
you have
did.
No idea how stressful my life was. Moses is like, I hear you, bro. I had to raise my hands up for a long time. So,
oh man, that's funny.
In Exodus 38,
Bezalel's name, just as a little piece of information, means in the shadow of God's protection.
Well, that's not even fair. Why didn't I name my son Bezalel?
you named your son a pretty good biblical name. Bezalel was of the tribe of, what?
My son? Oh, Judah. Yeah, definitely. That's pretty, I guess.
So hang on just a second. So you're saying Bezalel, a man of the tribe of Judah, built something that only people from the tribe of Levite could handle.
Yes.
There's something to that too. I don't know what it is, but
I doubt it.
Yeah. Who knows?
Well, here's the thing. Like, he built it. He built it to the exact specification of what God told Moses to tell him.
Yes.
So he didn't even hear God say it. I mean, obviously, the Spirit of God's dwelling inside of him. So he's like, move your hand a little to the left, Bezalel.
Yeah. Yeah. The details got to be on.
I guarantee his voice was deep and great.
Okay.
Yeah. But end of Exodus 40 is when the Spirit, the glory of God filled that tabernacle.
Yep.
That's by that time, Bezalel can't touch it anymore.
Right. Yeah. So imagine that. He's completely dedicated to the Lord and cannot touch it. He can't go into the place. And then Aholiab, his buddy, his sidekick, built the...
He's the fabric guy.
He built the fabric for the tabernacle, right? So Bezalel built all
for
the furniture.
For some reason, he's dancing all the time in my head. Like,
he's happy. He's joyful. You got Bezalel over here working with iron and
he's got
gold.
The deep voice. No, Aholiab. Oh, it's purple.
The first time I wrote the first time Wrath Buddies wrote the script for our ad, first time Wrath Buddies did it, they put in there one of his voice chips, what Bezalel's was, I got instructions for the ark from God, but I bedazzled it myself. I was like, I can't read that. I sent an email to Wrath Buddies and I said, sorry, you can't do this.
Guys, leave the comedy to us.
Leave the comedy to us. We got the comedy.
We've got that part.
Yeah.
So, all this.
We'll take care of that part.
What you got there? Some milk? So, we've got so many things, again, that we can dive in to each detail of this. I mean, the actual design of the Ark of the Covenant is crazy. Like,
yes.
You're probably, I'd hope for you to put a picture in. Right here. Oh, wait. No, I don't know how it's going to look.
A picture of what?
The Ark.
Oh,
rendition of the Ark. Not like the real one in the Raiders of the Lost Ark. The one that Indiana Jones found.
Yeah.
Take that, Nazis.
I will say this. When we look at a guy like Bezalel in the Bible, we think, the spiritual stuff, we'll leave the spiritual stuff to the professionals, right? So that's what growing up, I always thought our dad was a pastor. We knew that. He was a really great Bible teacher, one of the best. I remember several sermons he preached, and like, it's hard to get people to remember a sermon, right? Even like as I preach regularly, and even as we teach the students and preach to them, like we, you know, we'll come together and we'll say, what did we learn last week? And the students are like, and they'll name something from like Christmas, you know, like,
you know, what's sad is
angel
when,
told Mary, no, that's not what we learned last week.
When I don't even remember, and I'm the one that taught the previous week, I'm like,
yeah, it's, but it's hard to get people to remember a message, right? Dad was really good at that. I think one of the things that stuck out to me about Bezalel that that for that in that same vein of understanding is a lot of people think, well, we'll leave the spiritual stuff to the professionals, the pastors, the Sunday school teachers, the small group leaders, the you know, missionaries, the those that have the profession to do that. And Bezalel was like not a Levite. Levites were the priests, right? They were the ones that were like the people that went to.
I don't know why you put air quotes around it. Levites were the priests.
They were the priests of God. They were actual priests. Let's say that. They were the priests of God. And you had to be born into that line in order to be a priest. Like you could not, it was literally a line of heritage that, you know, your pedigree had to do this if you were going to be a spiritual, that kind of person doing work of the tabernacle or whatever. And yet this is the guy born of a different line. He wasn't born into the religious world, but God used him in a way that was like supernatural and crazy.
That's what got me, because I was gonna say I have a lot of friends. I don't.
No, you
don't. I have several. No, I have a very limited amount of friendships and some more acquaintances.
Okay,
put it that way.
I'll take that. Yeah,
and there I have one guy that's in my life that he is a Bezalel. Do you? I mean, do you have anybody
yes,
in your life?
I've got a Bezalel.
That's
yes.
a Bezalel.
Yeah,
and
very worker, hard worker, honest, loyal. Yep. We'll build anything.
Yes.
Build anything.
And
who you are. I got a project for you.
Yep. Oh, we can call him out for projects.
I promise he's not watching the podcast. Yeah. my Bezalel anyway. Yours probably is.
I'm hoping so.
I know who yours is. Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully mine is. Cause I probably have some stuff to do around the house. I need some help with, you know what happens. I've literally almost caught my house on fire with a toaster once.
Yeah.
So I told my wife, I was like, don't let me toast bread. Because somebody's like, what do you put in the toaster? You put bread in the toaster to make toast.
Yeah, you don't put toast in the toaster.
Well, see, I've heard that so much, I thought, I don't know why I'm putting this back in the toaster.
I'm gonna extra toast.
I put bread in the toaster, then I put toast in the toaster.
Have you seen, speaking of toast, have you seen the new Cheez-Its that are not a sponsor? The new Cheez-Its that are extra toasted? Have you seen these? We got it. We picked them up at summer camp for students. We picked them up, and they were delicious. And I'm thinking, how do you extra toast something? Isn't that just burning them? But that wasn't what it was.
I kind of like burnt popcorn.
You're a menace to society.
I know.
Nobody. The smell of burnt popcorn can ruin a workplace.
I love it.
You work from home, though, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh. That can ruin a home.
Barely. I barely work from home. Really hope my boss never watches this.
We're doing this at 10 a.m. on a work day. No, I'm just kidding.
He's going to be like, where are you going?
Anyway, back to the point.
Let's get that part out.
Yeah. Don't worry. I'll edit that right out.
Edit it right out.
I'm going to edit it.
So I do like burnt popcorn. Back to Bezalel. So, like, there's some guys in my life. But here's the thing. Like, I was always under the assumption that if you want to make a difference in the kingdom, you have to be a pastor.
Right.
Or a Sunday school teacher, or small group leader.
Missionary.
One of those things. Like, that was my assumption. And that's what I was really, one of my desires with the student ministry was to let them know, like, it doesn't matter what desires you have in your life. God is going to use you. He wants to use you for something. And that's what I was trying to encourage some guys that I know. That like, man, I'm not a really good public speaker. I'm like, but you can do stuff I can't do.
Right.
Like, I can't
use a toaster.
<That's obvious. laughs> I can't use a toaster, man. It's like, what is this? How do you do it? Yeah. I've burned my hand too many times.
Yeah.
But anyway, so back to Bezalel. The thing is, we never really talk about Bezalel, but we talk about the Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah.
We talk about the Ark as it goes out all throughout history up to Indiana Jones.
The Ark of the Well, even think about it.
That's extra biblical.
Just a few years ago. Well, here's what. So Ark of the Covenant went before the children of Israel as they were marching around Jericho, right?
Yes.
The Ark of the Covenant was the thing that the priest took into the river of Jordan, the Jordan River, and stopped it from flowing.
Yeah.
Right? God says, I'm going to stop the river from flowing. So put the Ark of the Covenant in there. The presence of God will stop the river from flowing down, yeah, called the River of Death, right? We talked about that a little bit last week, or last episode. And then as we look at what the Ark does, you know, it gets captured at one point, as we spoke about a minute ago. And when it gets captured, the Philistines capture it. David is at this point, this is much later on, and David is at, you know, he comes in, he's like, we're going to get the Ark back. And they're like, listen, you know, the Ark was captured by the Philistines, and they end up sending it back without even being asked.
Yeah.
I mean, they
see it.
There's
a reason.
Here's what happens. So the end of that story is...
Go read 1 Samuel chapter 5.
Yes, the end of that story is some cows are bringing this cart. They just walk up over the ridge, and there's the Ark on it.
Somebody's like, how are we going to get the Ark back? Oh, there it is.
There it is. It's coming back to us. And on it, on the cart, was a gift from the Philistines.
Okay, hold on. I have that in... I have that actually right here. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. It says, the Ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. So for 7 months, it was
seven
in...
7 months.
The Philistines called for the priests and And the Philistines called for the priests and said, what shall we do with the Ark of the Lord? Tell us what we shall send. Tell us what we shall send it to its place. Sorry, I can't read. Tell us with
you're
what.
You're not wearing your glasses today.
I'm not wearing my glasses. It's throwing me off. Tell us with what we shall send it to its place. They said, if you send away the Ark of the God of Israel, do not send it empty. I'm just imagining their faces of the guys who were asking. But by all means, return him.
And hang on, just a second. And all of them that are talking are all suffering from hemorrhoids at the
moment. Yes. It says, so then, they don't put the pauses in there. Yeah. Then you'll be healed, and it will be known to you why his hand does not turn away from you. And they said, what is the guilt offering that we shall return to him? They answered, 5 golden tumors.
And just so you know, the tumor in the original language, it is a tumor on the body that is in an area that is not.
It's a hemorrhoid.
It's a hemorrhoid.
So let me put it with that. So in those,
God
in those
gave
words.
God gave the enemy hemorrhoids.
So these are the priests and.
Of the Philistines, which are probably of the there's a god that the Philistines serve named Dagon.
1 Samuel chapter 5. You got to read it.
You got to read it.
It's crazy so what good. Happens. They're like
so huh, good.
This is weird.
Yeah,
how's this box doing this?
It doesn't even have hands. It's got two angels at the top of it.
By the end of it, they're like, our god doesn't have hands anymore. Read 1 Samuel chapter
or a
5.
Head.
It lost his hand. They answered 5 golden. Hemorrhoids, 5 golden mice, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines, for the same plague was on all of you and your lords.
So you know what that means, right? The Philistines have 5 gods. And so yeah. Each of those 5 gods were like, we will give you back the mice and the hemorrhoids. But in the story, we don't even hear about the mice.
No.
That doesn't come until that part of the text. So there was also apparently rats.
The ravage the land. It says ravage the land.
Yes. But we don't even hear about that because the hemorrhoids were so bad.
How embarrassing where it's like, hey, this place that we've tried to conquer so many times, we took something from them. Their God is so real and so angry.
Yeah.
Let's show them what he gave us.
Yes.
Because it says at the very end of chapter, or verse 5, it says, perhaps he will lighten his hand from off you and your gods and your land. It's like, we done
here's
ticked
my
him
question.
Off.
Here's my question.
So bad.
Okay, let's talk about that for a second. So it says, so to represent all 5 of the gods we serve, we're going to send back 5.
He gave our gods.
He gave our gods. Do you think it showed up on the statues?
Oh,
because the gods had the statues, right? They worshiped. Dagon was a statue in his temple.
And he's like, I'm going to make this inanimate object feel for just a minute.
And like, you look, what was added on the back of this god? The guy that's putting him back together, because he's in 1 Samuel 5, it's the guy that puts him back together is like, hang on, what is this growth on the back of his?
Again, we discussed in some of the prior like recordings of, I think there's an angel in heaven. Okay? And I think his assignment is
this
just
is
to kinda,
this is not in the Bible, FYI.
This is not in the Bible. This is
and this view is not this view is not supported by every person on this podcast.
No, it's not. It's not supported really even by me, but I'm going to say it. In my head, you know, sanctified imagination. I wouldn't even call it sanctified at this point. It's just my imagination.
Yeah.
So God gave us imagination like he gave them hemorrhoids.
Yeah. Sometimes your imagination reminds me of hemorrhoids.
My imagination has hemorrhoids.
That's the clip to open the episode.
My imagination has hemorrhoids. Oh, gosh. Like the Philistines.
Like the Philistines.
I have hemorrhoids. I don't. My imagination does. So.
Oh, man.
So in my imagination, I'm seeing an angel walking around with Bezalel. Because yeah. Bezalel, you don't hear him talk, so I don't think he's talking much.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So I think he's just, I think he's sitting up there like this.
Yeah.
And I think they're able to look and see what's going on.
Yeah.
Like this angel, every one of these situations, because Bezalel's already gone. He's already in glory. He's with them. So I think the angel's like.
Angel walks up to Bezalel in heaven.
He's like, yo, Bezzy. Bezzy, check it out, man. God got so mad, done gave him some. Man, did you see that? That's bad.
Remember you said it. You said don't touch the wings. They touched the wings. Look what happened when they touched the wings.
He touched the wings. Like, what are you thinking? You know what is funny? I never thought God would go to those extremes, but he's like, I'm going to give him all hemorrhoids. And he did. Look at him, Bezzy. Every one of them went to hemorrhoids. Don't even mention the mice. I wouldn't either if I had a bunch of hemorrhoids. I'm an angel. I've never really had them, but I'm telling you, they don't look comfortable.
They look bad. They look bad. They look bad.
They look real bad. Again, that situation. And also, like, as like all the.
My head just keeps going to this story. It's crazy bad.
You talking about the exploding Jericho, Josh?
No, the angel.
I think he looks like Prison Mike from The Office. I think he's got the bandana. I should bring one. I'm gonna bring a bandana.
Okay.
If the viewers want it.
If the viewers want it, comment. If you want more of what's his angel's name?
I'll even let them name the angel. I'll let them name the angel. I'll wear a bandana, and I'll be like, any situation we find ourselves in, I'll use my imagination, my unsanctified imagination.
The one with the hemorrhoid.
And I'll be like...
Because it's very uncomfortable when your imagination starts.
But, I mean, could you just imagine...
Oh, gosh.
For a second, we talked about this before, too. Like, so many different situations that happened with the Ark. Like,
yeah.
They're going in the water, and he's like, hey, Bezzy, come over and check it out, man. As soon as that box that you built goes in, boom, the water stops.
Dried up.
It done dried up. Thank goodness, that water's nasty, man.
He's the same one that we talked about from Elisha with the axe head.
He's like, man, I had to stick my hand in there, and it was like, gross. This is so gross. But I knew I was on a mission. So I had to just hold it in the water, like floating on top. And Bezalel the whole time is like, I bet Bezalel doesn't even crack a smile. He's just.
Gosh. Oh, man. It's out of control.
See, that's what the last couple of minutes are going to be the worst. I think we got to come up with a good name for this imaginary angel.
Yes, we do.
That came from
we'll work on that. You know what? That'll be released next week. My next episode, we're gonna name this angel
my imaginary hemorrhoid filled imaginations angel. I wonder if he like and two like Bezalel is watching.
We could just call him Hemi.
Hemi
the angel.
Could you imagine like as Bezalel is watching? You know. There's a cloud of witnesses, you know, around watching what's going on. And he's like, what you guys looking at? Oh, he's eating popcorn too. He's over there eating popcorn. He's like, this one's great. Did you see?
So you think there's an angel that is kind of like you in the heavens? It's like unhinged, inappropriate. God keeps looking around with side eyes right now.
He didn't
hear me.
He didn't fall with Satan though. He's like, man, I saw that coming. It was bad. So I wonder if he walks up, he's like, oh man, the boss, I heard the boss say he's gonna give him all the hemorrhoids. It's terrible. All right.
Oh man.
So yeah, be Bezalel, man.
Be Bezalel.
I mean, God used him for such great things. Like, it's just crazy. See, that's what kills me, though. You're allowed to have imagination. That's not in the Bible. That's nowhere in the Bible.
The Bible doesn't even support that thought.
Not at all. But when you're laughing, to me, in my opinion, when you're laughing and stuff, it kind of helps you remember the story. Like, it helps you remember, man, okay, not that whole thing. But that did happen when they crossed over the Jordan River.
Yes.
And because they had, as soon as that, the ark crossed over, and Bezalel had his hands, like, could you imagine? I wonder if his fingerprints were ever on it, or if whenever the cloud came over, it just burned it all up.
Probably burned it all up. The purity of it just probably burned it up.
God's like, I'm going to leave one little mark for Bezalel. Moses, don't touch it. Not allowed to touch it, Moses. Yeah.
I think it's a good reminder for us that it doesn't matter where you are, who you are, where you came from. Like, you could be used by God. And, you know, he was the first guy filled with the Spirit. We may be the last.
That's very true.
You know, our generation, not you and me. If it's you and me, we're in trouble.
We're in some big trouble.
Yeah. But, so I think that's why the New Testament tells us so many times, don't quench the Spirit, don't grieve the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians and Ephesians, do not quench the Spirit, don't grieve the Spirit. Live in the Spirit, let the Spirit live in you.
Yeah, and don't let the world dictate how you live your life. I mean, just because you may be a plumber, for instance, I don't know how to plumb. I think of Bezalel as a plumber type mentality. Like, just because you're service like, well, job, how can God use me?
Yeah,
it's like, well, he used Bezalel.
Yeah, maybe you want to come and maybe you want to help the plumbing issues at your church and charge nothing.
Yes,
as a pastor, I'll tell you that would be a blessing.
Yes,
a major blessing. A
lot of plumbing issues around here.
A lot of plumbing issues. Hey, thank you for joining us for this episode. We'll call that a wrap. We'll call that a wrap. Thank you for joining us.
I have some more things, but they're real bad.
Save that for another time after we hit 1,000 subscribers. Hey, be sure you like and subscribe.
Are you talking to me or the people listening?
Be sure you like and subscribe so that you do not ever miss an episode of the Sons of Thunder. And hey, listen, if you like it and if you subscribe, it lets us know that you want more of this.
That's true.
Whatever this is.
If you don't like and subscribe, we're still going to do it.
We're just going to be more angry.
Yes.
Hey, congratulations. You made it to the end of this episode. If you laughed, cried, confessed something accidentally, or need to call your therapist, congratulations. You are an official Thunder Buddy now. As we close, our challenge is simple, and it's going to be the same every time. May your joy be loud enough to scare your inner Pharisee. Don't be so tightly wound that you're not allowed to have fun. The thunder left us a microphone, and for reasons heaven refuses to explain, we're still using them. So this has been the Sons of Thunder podcast, where the forecast is always 100% chance of laughter with a side of emotional damage. See you next time.
See ya.